Hello, everyone, and welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. My name is Elaine Summerfield, host of Inspire Indeed, where we discuss community issues and hear from the nonprofits and local leaders who are working to address them. And hopefully you'll be inspired to think about how you're making a difference with your deeds. Well, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, a time to think about the reality of violence that is impacting families and predominantly women across the community. One can point to a myriad of causes of domestic violence, from our paternalistic roots or glorification of violence in pop culture and so on. But whatever its cause, domestic violence is a travesty that one in five women will experience in their lifetime. And it knows no socioeconomic boundaries. Domestic violence can occur at any household income, but the reality is that those with fewer resources are at higher risk and faced with additional challenges when looking at how to escape domestic violence. Today, I'm joined by Becky Lee of the YWCA of Richmond, and we'll talk about how to recognize domestic violence, where to turn for help, and how everyone can get involved to put a stop to violence in our communities. Welcome, Becky.
Thank you, Elaine.
Well, it's great to have you here. Now, the YWCA has been around, I know, for a long time. I mean, it's been serving women and families in Richmond since 1887, right?
Mm-hmm. Over 125 years, and originally started to receive women who were getting off the train coming to the city for work during the war, and then eventually adding the children, because those women getting off the train had children.
Had children with them.
Yes, so we've been working with women and children a long time.
Yeah, so I know that there have been different services and programs over the years, but currently your mission is still about empowering women, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, our mission has never changed. And our mission is, in fact, to eliminate racism, empower women, and we do our best in elevating children.
Great. And so how do you go about that in Richmond? What are your main programs and services?
Our primary service areas are our early childhood. We have an accredited and licensed and star-rated preschool for children in the community, and we're very proud of that.
So is that preschool, where is that located?
It is located at our 5th Street location, 6 North 5th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very proud of that center, so we love to have visitors.
Great.
Our children are precious.
Great.
We also have domestic and sexual violence services, and we pretty much run the continuum of services for that. We have a 24-hour hotline, 365 days a year. And last year, that hotline took in over 2,300 calls.
Wow.
Not all of those are crisis calls, but they're all family or sexual violence related.
People looking for assistance and resources.
In some way, yeah. We have our hotline then leads basically into our safe housing, which we do now when there are victims who call and who need to become safe. We can get them safe by putting them into an apartment singularly alone so that they can get somewhere safe, control their environment, and sooner rather than later begin the healing process and accessing services like our case management, our counseling, individual and group. We also provide some financial assistance where we can.
So if somebody calls you in crisis and reaches out to that hotline and says, I'm in danger, I'm scared about what's going on in my home, I'm here with my child and I need help, you would be able to direct them to a safe place to stay.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. If the issue is about safety, we can get somebody safe fairly quickly. If the issue at the moment is safe, is in fact safety, what we would, the best case scenario is to work with people who recognize that they are in a potentially dangerous situation and help them plan ahead
before it becomes a crisis.
A crisis. Too often what we found is people have to choose to become homeless in order to stay safe.
Oh, and that's not much of a choice, and it's not a safe choice either.
And it doesn't help expedite healing and becoming independent again.
Yeah, there's no sense of stability at all.
None.
So what is your hotline number?
643-0888.
What's that one more time?
804-643-0888.
Okay, and so you can respond to a crisis, but you don't have to be in crisis in order to reach out to
that
hotline
and
call.
Absolutely not.
Anytime you think you might have any indication that you could benefit from those services,
That's
just go
right.
ahead and call. Good. So now I understand you have the hotline and you do the safe house and counseling, and you also have a program related to the hospitals, right?
Yes. We call it Our Heart. It's the Regional Hospital Accompaniment Response Team, and it's a collaborative with Henrico's Safe Harbor and Hanover Safe Place and the YWCA, and we've pulled our volunteer staff as well as our program staff to respond to the hospitals when there is a physical or sexual assault that requires evidence recovery.
So what evidence recovery? So the hospitals reach out to you? Is that
yes.
what happened?
Okay. Yes, it's institutionalized in both the Bon Secours and the VCU health systems,
okay.
To where their forensic nurses initiate the call to our hotline, and the hotline then in turn dispatches the on-call person to the hospital to go and be there with that patient
during that time.
Yes, mm-hmm. to be the advocate and support for them at that time.
And that on-call person, is that a staff person of yours?
Generally, it starts with trained volunteers. They
trained
do about 40 hours of volunteer mm-hmm. training, a little more than that, but about mm-hmm. 40 hours of volunteer training. And our staff and some seasoned volunteers are also backup staff so that we have multiple people on call.
So that's the hospital accompaniment response team. So I'm curious, what's the reality of what that looks like? I mean, just what is it like for somebody who's sitting in the hospital, you're going through all this evidence gathering? What is that experience like?
Well, I mean, if you consider that the first thing is you've experienced trauma.
Right.
In one way or another, you have already been through
the
traumatic experience.
You've been attacked or victimized somehow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you're at the hospital, and now you're having to relive and retell that again. The evidence recovery is really very, in some ways, physically intrusive mm-hmm. and for individuals. But it's also just the idea of having to recount, your clothes become evidence. So everything that you're wearing becomes evidence. Mm, mm-hmm. You have to
relive
it's
it.
It's photos.
The last thing that you would want to.
Yeah, it's not just telling mm-hmm. it. You, everything about you, your body, mm-hmm. because of the trauma, becomes evidence. So there is an exploration.
That's awful.
Of everything yeah. that you bring with you.
Mm-hmm.
On your body.
Mm-hmm. And so the volunteers can help provide support.
Absolutely.
A handhold.
And information.
And information.
Yeah, we also provide mm-hmm. information and referrals and mm-hmm. And cell phones mm-hmm. so for those who don't have them
sure,
for the
yeah,
purpose
like emergency
of calling 911. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR, and we are in the midst of our pledge drive, so I hope you'll call the station 622-9747. Or go to WRIR.org to make your pledge or donation. You know, WRIR provides unique, locally produced programs created by volunteers like Defenders Live with Anna Edwards. That's a great show every week. The Rainbow Minute, which you can hear every day, and Total Soccer Football Show. And that's just to name a few. Our music programs feature really knockout DJs, too, who spend hours. I mean, really takes hours to put on one of those curated shows by the DJs. So we hope that you appreciate what all the volunteers are putting together for the benefit of the community, and that you'll be sure to make your donation, which you can do by going to WRIR.org or calling 622-9747 or come on down the station. And you might run into our esteemed guest who's in the studio today. Becky is here from the YWCA of Richmond. And Becky, we were just talking about some of the important services that the YWCA provides related to domestic and sexual violence. You're just talking about the hospital accompaniment program. And I'd love to give the listeners your website where people can learn more about how to get involved.
Absolutely. www.ywca.org. richmond, Richmond spelled out, .org.
YWCARichmond.org. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And what's that hotline number again?
It's area code 804-643-0888.
Great, thank you. You also mentioned when you were talking about the services that you provide, the counseling that you do. You said you have individual and group counseling. What types of things do you talk about in those counseling sessions? How do you get people to that place of self-sufficiency and stability?
Well, and I would say that our counseling, there are two functions that we have with survivors that we work with, and one is a case management and one is a counseling function. And I would say that our counseling function is very specifically more trauma-focused and therapeutic from a trauma-informed standpoint.
I see.
And our case management is much more the supportive services that supports housing, education, employment, helping to access local resources. And I think that they really are two independent functions, but both invaluable to the women and the men that we work with.
I see. I know we've been talking about a lot about domestic violence involving women as victims, but you said it happens with men as well, and you serve men as well.
Yes, we do.
And that's good to remember because the W is in your name after all.
I know.
But I do want listeners to know that if you're a man that's experiencing domestic violence, you can definitely call the YWCA for assistance as well.
Yes, and we do have also a male counselor mm-hmm. who is available.
Great. Good. That's great to know. So people can, you said it's best when people can contact you when it's not a moment of crisis, but maybe they are starting to sense that domestic abuse or might be happening. Like, what are some of the red flags that people could look out for? Because I've always heard anecdotally that when you are being victimized like that, you don't always know it's happening. I mean, you're kind of losing sight of yourself and losing your sense of self-control. And so it might be hard to even see those red flags as they start to pop up. But what do you advise people on those lines?
Well, I think that it is hard for people to look at it for themselves, especially when they feel that other people will judge them, they're embarrassed, they're people consider themselves intelligent adults, and they can't imagine that they could miss these things. But I think that if you're looking at it in others, for example, when you see unexplained or illogical injuries, is what most people identify. Or if there's unusual or sudden drastic changes in behavior or appearance or presence in any way, or changes in routines that are most unusual. That's one way to look at it with other people. But I think that some of the keywords that are involved are if somebody makes me do something, if you hear people using words like makes me, if there's blaming that's typically a part of the conversation, if any behaviors are required or controlled, or something is allowed or not allowed.
Allowed or not allowed, that's interesting.
I mean, I think that, you know, when I'm not allowed to work is a red flag.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If I don't want to work, it's not a red flag.
Right.
But if I'm not allowed to work, it's a red flag. And that although what most people identify with is the physical things that are apparent physically, by far emotional, sexual, financial are far more prevalent and far less acknowledged. When someone has no control or no access to family funds, no control or access to family vehicles, and therefore access to the community.
Right. So that's another way of controlling somebody.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways you can do that don't put a bruise on you.
Mm-hmm. But it's still just
hard.
Yeah, and so it's harder to recognize.
People don't say, he hadn't hit me yet.
Right.
Is the response that we often get.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. But they still are just as much a victim of that type of control, and they've lost a sense of making their own decisions.
Well, and chances are I've already convinced you. If I'm the abuser, I've already convinced you that you're really lucky to have me. Nobody else is going to want you, and that I could make sure that happened. I can make sure nobody wants you, and I can tell everybody how bad you are. And if I'm a reasonable, upstanding citizen, they're all going to believe me, not you.
I see. Yeah. So those
I don't
are
have to hit you.
Right. Exactly. Because that dominant role has already been established.
Right.
Yeah. So what do you? I imagine people come to you sort of at all points in that maybe spectrum of
yes, they do.
Different types of abuse going on, and so you're well equipped to handle whatever they're coming with then.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, so,
and we're not going to try to convince people that they should leave because, I mean, well, that's not our role. Our role is not to, because you call me, I'm not going to try to convince you to do something you don't want to do.
Gotcha.
But I do want to be there to support you.
Well, that brings up another question that I had, which was, you're working with women, providing case management so they have access to resources. The YWCA has an outstanding counseling program to help women through trauma and getting to that place of where they're more self-assured. But then I'm sure you also see people go back to their abuser. Mm. You've done all this work with them. You've helped them in a moment of crisis. You think that they're getting to where they're going to be independent, but then they're back back with that abuser again. What do you do? How do you feel when that happens?
Well, it makes me sad. It makes me sad, and that's absolutely a fact. But it also makes me hopeful that they have, while they've been with us, that they have gained some new tools. Because what we understand about intimate partner violence and domestic violence is that it is, number one, it's cyclical. There are so many times that it is typical for people to go back and forth. For various reasons, you know, you see the movies all the time that talk about how, but he sent me flowers and he said he's sorry and it'll never happen again. And we tend to blame the victims instead of looking at it as, chances are if I've had no control of the money and I haven't been able to work and you've convinced me that nobody's ever going to want to love me again, that now I've had to choose to be homeless to keep you from hitting me, but now I'm homeless. And I don't know how to get a job, and I don't have a car, and I don't have any money, and nobody's going to want me. And you may hit me, but if I don't act up and I be really good, you might not hit me again. And at least it's a roof over my head, guaranteed meals on the table, and clothes on my back. And if we have children together, and I am somewhere without resources, chances are you could get my kids.
Oh.
But if I come back,
that's another
my
thing.
Kids are in a safe house and stable home, even if it's violent.
You're right.
We as the outsiders should never presume to know what that reason is, because it further blames the victim, which further shames the victim, which means they're not liable to tell you again the next time when it happens, because they're going to assume you'll judge.
And like you said, even if they do wind up going back to the abuser, they have spent some time with you, they've learned about new tools, they've learned about new resources, and so they'll be more likely to reach out if you have an open, honest communication with them rather than trying to tell them what to do.
Well, and typically it's a 6 to 7 times. That seems to be
6 to 7 times.
Six to seven times that they go back.
That's kind of like what I hear for substance abuse recovery as well.
It's also like the same number for by the time people actually tell somebody, they've already endured 7+
incidents
of significant abuse.
Right. Well, it goes to show then that it's that much more important for you to be there exactly when people need it and have that 24-hour hotline.
And to just be there. And that's what we tell people about their friends.
Great.
Don't turn away and don't judge.
That's so helpful to hear. Now, your hotline number one more time at the YWCA, what's that hotline number?
It's 804-643-0888.
And what's your website where people can get details on all your services?
www.ywcarichmond.org.
Great, thanks. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And you may have gathered that we're speaking with Becky Lee of the YWCA of Richmond. And just a reminder, you can also go to WRIR.org to make your pledge to support this volunteer-run community media outlet. It is our pledge drive week, and we're working hard to get to our goal. So we hope that you'll participate and be a part of this station. So, Becky, the YWCA, I know you do a lot of direct services with the women that you're serving, predominantly women, also some men. But you also do some broader work in terms of raising awareness out in the community, talking about the issue of domestic violence. And I mentioned that it is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, so you must be doing a lot along those lines right now. Can you tell us about some of those efforts that you do related to education awareness?
Oh, sure. Well, in October has been a really busy month, and this month we've been doing a brown bag lunch series on Thursdays, and we do have one more coming up this Thursday that is about intimate partner violence and reproductive coercion and the connection between the two.
Interesting. You just alluded to that a little bit when you were talking about the control or the how difficult it is to leave an abuser when there's a child involved.
And so that's coming up this Thursday at noon. Those don't cost anything, and you can find information on our website about that. But one of the events that we've been doing for about 18 years is the Remember My Name event, and that's also this Thursday night at 6, the 24th. The 24th at 6 o'clock at Unity Multicultural Center over on Blanton Avenue. And it is our opportunity to literally remember the names, because we do, in fact, read the names of all those that have been presented to us over these years, of those that have lost their lives as a result of a domestic violence incident.
Wow.
And it is our memorial service for that. And the community's, it's open to the community. We welcome anyone.
So that's Thursday evening at 6,
At 6.
At Unity.
At Unity. On Blanton.
That's kind of close to Bird Park neighborhood, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's right by the tennis courts on your way to the Carillon.
Great.
First one on the right.
Great. Okay. Terrific. So a memorial, is there more going on there? Yes, a program?
We've always had someone from the community speak, and this year we're really fortunate. Lisette Johnson, who is in fact a survivor, and relatively new for her in her healing, she has become an incredible advocate for the folks who don't have a voice. And Lisette is going to share her story and encourage everyone to talk about it and to try to help her continue to be the voices for those that don't have them.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of what your work is about, is just encouraging people to talk about it and keep the issue on the forefront and not sweep it under the rug like can so easily happen.
Yeah, well, it's a hard thing to talk about, and it's not warm and fuzzy.
It's not at all.
It's difficult.
Yeah, so you've talked a little bit earlier about some of the volunteer opportunities with the hospital accompaniment program that involves 40-hour, sounds like pretty intensive training, so that you'll be able to be that one-on-one advocate for people in need. And what are some other types of volunteer opportunities you might have for those that don't have that level of time to devote to
but want to help out? Well, hospital accompaniment is really too intimate and too involved. And it's a very special person who wants to be that kind of advocate. But we do have lots of other opportunities. There are very direct opportunities. We have volunteers who support our hotline and work on our hotline to provide additional phone respondents at the time. We have volunteers who learn, because part of what we need to do with the awareness is to increase the public's understanding of what the dynamics are so that we can help to prevent it in the future. And so training speakers who can support the requests that we get to be knowledgeable speakers on behalf of the YWCA is another exceptional opportunity, and one that we're always looking for people who are willing to be that kind of champion.
Right.
For folks who need a champion.
So like going out to programs that employers might host, things like that.
That's right. And sharing information.
And Where can people find out about your volunteer opportunities?
Also on the website, www.ywcarichmond.org.
Great. Now, we only have just a minute left as time has flown by, but can you tell me briefly, in a nutshell, like, what else can all of us be doing to help prevent violence in our communities?
Well, I'll tell you, first, again, talk about it. But I think that one of the things we don't get to do enough of is prevention. We have got to talk to our children. It is never, and quite frankly, educating your children means starting from the time they're born, showing them and modeling them healthy adult relationships first and foremost, but talking to them about it and really working on those, really being mindful of our friends, not judging them, and becoming knowledgeable ourselves so that we can be supportive. Be an informed neighbor, be an informed church member. Think about, you know, how you want your granddaughter to be safe or your neighbor to be safe, or even for elderly women, they are so often just hidden. Mm-hmm. And people assume it's because they're old, when in fact it's because they're being intentionally isolated. Mm-hmm. And so how, you know, it's looking for the odd things that just don't quite make sense and really reaching out.
Yeah, and each of us can play a role if we just approach our neighborhood and our relationships with that lens and kind of just be mindful about those that might be suffering mm-hmm. in silence. Yeah. Well, Becky Lee, thank you so much for joining us on Inspire Indeed today. What's your website one more time for people?
It's www.ywcarichmond.org.
Great. Thank you. We really appreciate your time today.
Thank you for having us.
And once again, I do want to remind folks that it is our pledge drive, so go to WRIR.org or call 622-9747 to make your donation. And help keep this local voice on the airwaves. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and you've been listening to Inspire Indeed. I hope you've learned something here today that inspires you to consider how you're making a difference with your deeds.